I would like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and stick something in there, and then put a little note where John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verses 12 through 14 is. And we'll get to that in a moment, but we'll start off with 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read verses 16, 17, and 18, if I may. And this is how it goes. So, from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. It is really easy to just look at one another, to even look at ourselves, and look at Christ from a sort of an ordinary worldly point of view, which is to say that people are not that necessarily important, that Jesus Christ isn't necessarily unique, and what's there special about us after all? And some of these people that you heard them coming to campus without a tremendous amount of confidence in who they are or their ability or willingness to meet people that they don't know very well already. But in Christ, this whole thing changes. When we begin to realize that Jesus is just not a good teacher, Jesus is not just a remarkable person, but that he is God who came in the flesh, who is God identifying with us and doing the heavy lifting for us that we could not do for ourselves. He is the one who paid the price for sin, so that we can be forgiven and reconciled to God. He is the one who broke the power of death by coming alive again and coming out of the tomb. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he has all authority and power on the earth. And he has invited us into relationship with him, whereas he is our King as well as our brother and our Savior and the light of our lives. Wow! How different is that? You get a hold of that, and nothing is ever the same. That's why this passage says, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. We become new people. And as a result, we have a different relationship with everyone else, and we look at other people in a different way. Lots of times, when you go on the internet or you just talk with other people or you watch TV, there's a barrage of messages sort of calculated to exploit our insecurities, and they sort of tell you, you need this or you need that, you can reach for this, you can reach for that, and we kind of need to accumulate these things that then give us some kind of an identity or give us some kind of legitimacy. But in Christ, we are legitimate. In Christ, we have been given full and complete righteousness. In Christ, we have been declared righteous before God. We are adopted into his family. We have the right to approach our Heavenly Father in the expectation that he delights to hear from us and stands ready to listen. And he has already provided for us abundantly and richly, and sets the lonely in families, right? Wow, how powerful is that? So in Christ, we have a new identity and a new way to look at other people, which then segues into a tremendous responsibility, a tremendous obligation, because it says here in verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and, this is good, gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Then it explains it a little in verses 19 and 20, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. How often do people count the sins of others against them? You just hear them talking. They talk about other people and they bring up some sort of an injustice or some sort of atrocity or some sort of gossip point, and and people are just running other people down with hostility, with invective, justifying either cutting corners themselves because these other people were clowns in the first place, and God is not counting the sins of people against them. He has made the way open for people to come back to him. He has announced an amnesty, a general amnesty to any and all who would recognize his love for them as expressed in Christ. It goes on to say, not counting men's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We have a responsibility. We have a task. We have an opportunity in front of us. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Curious choice of words. As though God were making his appeal through us. Yes, he is making his appeal through us. And we are his ambassadors. But let me tell you, and well, I probably don't have to tell you, we already are pretty well acquainted that in our culture, people, for the most part, think they already know more than they want to know about Christianity. Right? Oh, yeah. That. And the typical thought is, yeah, well, I'm really not interested in finding anything else about that. You don't have a lot of people coming up to you. Does anybody around here have a lot of people coming up to them going, tell me, what do you believe about Jesus? I would really like to know. We don't get a lot of those kinds of questions. People generally don't want to bring the topic up, and if you do, there are some sort of conversation stopper replies that we kind of sometimes run into. So it is arguably a challenge. It's a challenge to get people to take a second look at something which really is brilliant, which really is of tremendous value, but the typical assumption is that it's not really something that they're interested in. We also have to realize that the mind of the flesh, the mind of the sinful nature, resists God. So when you're talking to people who are not followers of Christ about the Lord, their typical reaction is going to be, I need some distance between me and this because I can see where the implications are going and I'm not so sure I want to follow those. So it is something of an uphill fight. But let me just suggest a few things and then we'll turn over to, then we'll turn over to John chapter 14 for a little hope and encouragement. We have found on campus that if people who are not followers of Christ can come to a place where they respect and trust a Christian person, that is a significant help. Remember Dylan thinking, well, I met Kathleen and Chris, but I don't know. I don't know if I really want it to come down. Or Danielle at the keyboard sort of trying to email Ken. Ooh. Do I really? In campus ministry, you could just put up your publicity, and people would kind of come, and they'd want to know about it, and they'd be interested in sitting down and talking about it. Now I run into people who say, "I know about it, but I'm too afraid to go." Interesting. A change in dynamic. So then what is the call to us as ambassadors is to move out into life with humility, but also with confidence and with goodwill toward other people so that by our Christ-like behavior, we win trust and we earn the right to be heard. This is part of the mission. We can't just send truth bombs through the media to people and expect them to listen. They need a person that they respect and admire and trust. And then communication can start. However, it's possible that somebody might know you and respect you, but still not be that interested or curious about Christianity. So if we can arouse some curiosity, if we can maybe ask some questions, if we can tell about some of our experiences, that might arouse some curiosity so that a person becomes receptive. How many of you want to listen to a presentation you're not interested in? Anybody? What do you feel like when somebody launches into the presentation? It's like, how can I get out of this? How can I shut this conversation down? So part of the challenge for us as ambassadors is to ask questions, is to arouse interest, to bring up the topic in a way where the other person has the opportunity to express some of their thoughts. And we won't exchange in an argument right off the bat. But if we ask questions to understand where somebody is coming from, we might better be able to express the value and the genius and the goodness of the gospel in a way that would arouse more curiosity. So we need to become skillful. But I want to argue that this skill is not a measure of intelligence. It's a measure of love. If we're interested in people, we will care what they think. We will make the effort to understand them. We will make the effort to get close enough to share our fears and uncertainties and have them share some of theirs. And then we can begin to speak to it. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to somebody tell me what they're thinking, and I thought, oh, it's a good thing I know this, because sort of the typical way that I maybe share the gospel, sort of my default presentation, would not have worked in this situation. And so asking questions and listening and trying to understand people will help us to arouse curiosity. Another threshold that people have to come to is the willingness to open up to change. And God is pretty good at that. Danielle was ready for some changes. She said, life has beaten me up pretty hard. Anybody ever feel beat up by life? It happens to us too. And so we know that God is our partner in this. And then another transition that people need to make is not only to be open to change, but then seeking after God and then committing themselves to the kingdom. But the challenge for us as ambassadors is to realize that people, not everybody is ready to listen, but there are things that we can do. There are steps that we can take. Now let's turn over to John chapter 14. Here's where Jesus says some dazzling things. And sometimes I have to confess, I don't quite know how to take it. But we need to let him urge us to get a little reckless here. John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. Okay. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. Well, what was Jesus doing? He was doing a lot of things that I cannot do. What was he doing that perhaps we can do? He was announcing the love and the truth of God. He was announcing the gospel of the kingdom. He was revealing God, and he was calling people to follow him, right? We can be involved in doing this. Now listen to this. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father. Greater things than these? How can we do greater things than Jesus? Have you turned water into wine? Now, if we turned water into wine, we might drink it all, and that would not be a good idea, you know? So it's like, no. That's one of the... But how can we do more than Jesus did? Well, think about this. At one point, he says to his guys, it's good that I go to the Father because I will send the Spirit. And sending the Spirit creates the body of Christ, not as one man, but as a whole company of people all over the world doing Jesus' work. Jesus, as an itinerant preacher, could heal people, yes. He could teach, yes. But his disciples were a pretty sorry lot until the Holy Spirit came upon them, right? After Jesus was seated at the right hand of the Father, that's when churches, whole communities of faith came into existence. That's where hospitals were built. He could go and heal people, but now there are hospitals all over the world, frankly, because Christians were the first people who thought that it was a good thing to do this kind of thing. Gary and Karen, you guys are involved in a medical mission into the world, telling people in Tajikistan, you guys matter. And so we want to bring healing and we want to bring hope to you guys. So we are doing something that Jesus was really not able to do. We are building communities of faith all around the world that get close to people to help them to understand who Jesus is. And then listen to this. He will do even greater things than these because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name. Why? So the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. He's saying, I'm behind this. I'm with you. You are my ambassadors. I am sending you. I will resource you. I will blow you away with what I am willing to do. Now, does this mean that it won't be difficult? Of course it is going to be difficult. Are we ever going to be disappointed? Yes. We're going to share with some people and they're just going to say, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But as we are characterized by prayer and faithful witness, we will see lives change. There's one of our students, her name is Erin. She lives over in, I think, Smith Hall, right? Okay. She has prayed over her room. She has said, God, make this a refuge. Make this a place that people are welcome. Make this a place where people can find you. And she told me the last conversation I had with her, she said, Chris, I am absolutely astonished. All these friends of mine are peppering me with questions. What is this? What do you believe about Jesus? What's going on with this? And she's getting all kinds of questions that you and I would love, you know, to get, although some of the questions involve more detail and they challenge her and so forth. But what an amazing thing. Not everybody gets questions like this, but I'm telling you, as we have prayed and asked God, Lord, show me some opportunities to share who you are that are right for me and for the people around me. If you start to pray that kind of prayer, it is look out. You better get ready because the opportunities to share are going to materialize. But we need to be prepared to give an answer for the hope that we have. We need to be willing to partner with Christ. If we are new in Christ, and we are, then we shouldn't be looking at other people the same old way. We're not in competition with other people for a limited amount of personal pleasure and satisfaction. We are sent here by God to bring his love and his truth to other people's attention so that they might, in the hopes that they might come to know him as well. And we need to be wise in the way and respectful in the way that we relate to other people. But if we ask God to give in us a way to connect with other people and a way to share the good news, we will be astonished at the things that God brings into our experience and the opportunities that we will have. Let's pray.